Chapter 23, The Great Prop Key Mystery. In the first few takes, I actually fell asleep. Charlie and Doc John removed the helmet as I was snoring away. While I'm supposed to be unconscious, I also had to wake up suddenly after McCoy injects me with 23rd Century Red Bull. The problem was I had such a hard time keeping my eyes open that when Doc John acted out giving me the injection, I wasn't selling it well. We took a break so I could get my second wind and push myself to stay awake. We did one more take, which Mark and Dave decided was the best of the bunch. It was the most convincing one of me as a guy who's passed out because I was fighting to stay awake. However, I cringed when I saw the dailies the next morning because my head was bobbing all over the place. It was all I could do to stay awake and get through filming. To put this all in perspective, the transporter scene in which George turns into me is only a few minutes long, but required days of painstaking work to put together. Moreover, the Tholian web spacesuit, which appears for all of 40 seconds in this wake-up scene, had a lot of sleepless nights behind it. I had the easy part. The costume and film crew did the real work to make me a spaceman on film. Andy, what did we do earlier in the day?
It's remarkable that between all of his spacesuit modeling and sleep deprivation, John ever had a free moment to help me with my vignette. But on occasion, he did. And it's a good thing, too, because today I was really going to need it. While I supplied most of the props needed for my vignette, there was one prop we needed to borrow from James, a TOS phaser. Every morning, we checked the phaser out from James, and every evening, we checked it back in. James treated this transaction like he was the curator of an art museum, and we were asking to take one of his Picassos for a walk. The phaser was kept in a prop locker, which was always locked. The only key belonged to James. When we were handed the phaser in the morning, it was marked off as in use on a prop inventory sheet by James or one of his people. In the evening, when we returned it to its secure home, it was marked as returned. Because of these stringent, bordering on militant, precautions, you might assume the phaser we were handed every morning was an authentic prop from the original Star Trek, personally licked by Mr. Shatner himself. It was not. Really? Did you think that? No. The TOS phaser we checked out each morning while under the watchful eye of one of James's designated prop marshals was one of almost a dozen TOS phasers that James kept locked away in his prop locker. Each of them was a mass-produced child's toy phaser, retailing for $25.
And that was Making More Fake Star Trek, available now in paperback and for Kindle.